This is one of those times when all the readings coalesce. You know, the gospel is picked first, and then an Old Testament reading is picked that will shed light on the gospel. And then the other reading kind of goes along its own way often. But today, they're all about faith. It starts off, the night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers. How was it known? Revelation. Those who accepted the revelation were ready. And those who didn't were not. They were told to prepare the Passover and put the blood on the lintels of the door. And those who did, their firstborn were saved. And those who didn't, didn't happen. They knew ahead of time that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith. What oaths were those? God's oaths. God's promises. I promise you that you will live in that land that I gave to Abraham. Right now you're slaves, you know, a 2 weeks walk away. But one day you will be there. And then comes the word. Get ready. Who did and who didn't, huh? Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. And so it goes on. And for in secret, the children of the good were already offering sacrifice. Secretly, they were worshiping Adonai already. Faith. Then we have this absolutely splendid text that I want to talk about. This, the man who wrote the letter to the Hebrews is one of the greatest mystics of the whole New Testament era. He ranks along with John as the most daring in a way for some of the things he says. And then our Lord has two parts to this as Luke presents it and as it's read here. You see, it first says, our Lord says, look, don't be afraid any longer. You see, your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Don't worry. He didn't have you baptized for nothing. He didn't call you to know that you should come together and worship and praise and receive the body and blood of Jesus at least once a week for nothing. You're on your way to an indescribable joy forever. He promised. So, sell your belongings, give alms. That is, you don't have to hang on like this is all we got, you know. And then when we die, who knows? Or maybe we'll go to heaven, whatever that is. He said, you don't have to worry like that. I'm guaranteeing you that if you will obey me, you will have a life forever so beyond anything you can imagine. You just have to trust me. I can't show it to you now because if I did, you'd die. It's so beautiful, so powerful, it would pull you right out of your body. And you're not ready yet. So you're not going to see it yet. But where your treasure is, there your heart is. What do we think about all day? Is it ego, money, power? What do I think of all day? That's where my heart is. And so the Lord is saying, look, and then he gives this example, okay? Gird your loins, light your lamps, and await, be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. A wedding, because they go on for days. When you have a real wedding in the East, you know, they go on for days still. And everybody, they're playing the dubki, the drum, and they're drinking arak, and they're having a wonderful time and dancing and having for 2 or 3 days. See, we get tired after a few hours. We want to go home, you know. They're not like that. And they dance. They dance and dance and dance. Not the ballroom dancing and not the stuff people do, but if you ever saw the movie Zorba, the Greek, they dance like that, you know. And there's one leading with a beautiful bandana, and everybody follows him, but I got to finish my homily, so I won't tell you all about how they dance. So, whenever he comes, if that fellow is, you know, if you're ready, blessed are you. And then Peter says, Lord, is that meant for us or for everybody? Well, it's meant for everybody, but now, Peter, I'm going to tell you bishops and priests, you better be ready. You have a duty, and if you're not doing it, you're going to get in trouble. If you're not preaching the word and caring for the people, you're going to be in trouble. I have placed my imprint on your spirit by my Holy Spirit, so that when you act, I act. I say, this is my body, this is my blood. It's not my body, my blood. It's Christ's. I imprint that on you, so you better be ready. And if you're not caring for the brethren, you're going to hear from me. That's why we have to pray for all those who are ordained. Pray for them. Because it's an enormous responsibility. But you see, the heart of it is faith. Who is alert? Who is ready? Who is those who accept the truth and live by it and try not to forget it? Well, we only do that if we pray. And so I want to take a few minutes now to just try to this wonderful passage we have here. Well, what is faith? See, what is faith anyway? Well, this is the way the letter to the Hebrews. Faith is the substance of what is hoped for. Now, just so happens that the word the fellow used can mean four different things, all related, though, you see. It's the substance. They translate it the realization, which means the making real. So what we hope for, we already possess. But in icon, you know, in image. We don't possess it in full vision, but we do possess it. Faith is what makes real what is hoped for. It's real. But it's not full. And that's tantalizing. And it's the way of being sure of the things we don't see. Not just don't see with our eyes, don't really see with our minds. This is marvelous, isn't it? Do you realize that that's a pure gift from God? Faith? A pure gift from God? Now, what's its dynamics? You see, if you look at all the great saints and mystics have reflected on this and other texts, because, after all, how many times does Paul say, by faith you are saved? Well, what does he mean? What does he mean? Is it, if I say, I believe, I'm saved? No. If I believe, I'm saved. It says there in Romans, you know, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, it's really the other way around, then you will be saved. But it's a real, deep human act by which we yield to the truth. The truth is presented to us. And we have the, which is a mercy, that's revelation. Every act of faith is a revelation. Every day. Revelation is the source of faith. All the time. And so, it means that this reality is presented to us, and something in us moves toward it. That's a twofold grace. First, it's presented, and then we move. And both of those are gifts from God. For instance, when our Lord healed that blind man, and then there he was, you know, standing right in front of this blind man. Who's standing there? The living, eternal Son of God. But until Jesus opened his eyes, he couldn't even see him physically. And then, if you just look sometime on your own, maybe even in that biblical dictionary of faith, think of what this is, this gift. First, he has to present himself. And that's an appealing light. It appeals to something so deep in us, but we can't move until he gives us the light to yield to it, to accept it. And it's always beyond us, always. It's never under our control. And living in a world where knowledge is control, this is very hard. Living in a world where knowledge was admiring reality and writing poetry, and it wasn't so hard. It was hard enough. But for us, knowledge is building bridges, making money, having control in the company. That's what knowledge is for. Knowledge is access to power. No, it's not. That's the lowest form of knowledge. Knowledge is contact with the true and rejoicing in the true. But we can only do that by the mercy of God. God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, creation, has done something greater. He has shown in our hearts. He has given us light so that we can see the glory of God shining on the face of Christ Jesus. That's faith. We need both. The glory of God shining on the face of Christ Jesus and the capacity to welcome it, to yield to it. And that, you see, is love. It's love. You know, two and two are four. Whether you love or not, it's four, right? And you agree. But to agree that Jesus is Lord, you have to love. You have to love. Everybody agrees to this, by the way. A good friend of mine is a good Baptist theologian. Calvin, according to him, he said, Calvin says, we are saved by faith alone. But faith never comes alone. It comes with love. You have to yield to this reality. It's not a proposition. It's the glory of Christ. And that's why we're saved by faith. Because there's Jesus there, beckoning. And he's beyond us. Beyond us. And then we yield. And we're taken outside of our control, outside of our domination. And we rejoice. Because then that contact allows Christ to dwell in us. Which, by the way, is Luther's definition of justification, the indwelling Christ. Allows Christ to dwell in us, and we have divine life. And that's what saved means. It means we have divine life. This is faith. It's at work in us all the time. And as we yield to this, we grow. Now we are so blessed to be in a community where everybody believes. It's a big help. But there are times when you have to believe. It has to be you. And that's where the difficulties and the trials come. And God wants them to come. You say, oh boy, he's cruel. He's not cruel. He's like a good coach. You know, you do the 440 in a certain amount of time, and the coach says, pretty good, now do it again. Because he wants you to improve. And so, you see, it's this grace by which we gaze on God in darkness, but we know we're in touch with him. You know that, right? You know. You can't control it. You can't measure it, but you know. Now, then there are trials when it's not so much fun anymore. But that's the blessing, to grow and get deeper and deeper so that that rhythm of being presented with divine reality and yielding to it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper till finally we die and we see him. It's the same God that we've been with our whole life. And now, all the veils are taken away. And we see him. And we yield the same way, but now forever. And we rejoice forever. But there are trials. You know, after a while in the spiritual life, it gets boring. The last thing I want to do is have a prayer time. Maybe I'll play golf and offer that up. You know what I mean? You can't do it. You see, this is where people grow and don't grow. And I want to tell you something. The key is faith. But faith means gazing on the object. This is why the scriptures give us the object. You see, there's an old philosophical principle that if you want to increase the intensity of an act, you don't look at the person doing the act, you look at the object of the act. If you're a good hitter in baseball, it's not because you know just how to stand and how to hold the bat, it's because you can watch the ball. And you put your eye and all your concentration on the ball, not on what you're doing. And then you have an intense act. But it's the same with God. You can try to stir yourself up, crank yourself up all you want, but all the intention's on you. You want to fall in love with God, you look at God. Well, I don't see him. That's okay. You will see him. You will know you're seeing him, even though you don't see him. And that's what he's saying. See, faith is the hypostasis. It's the very stuff already possessed of what we hope for. But we don't see it yet. And that's why we give God so much credit. I believe you. But we have to expect to grow. We have to. And when we settle down in the fun part of faith, we're children. We're children. And God has so much more for us. To know the living God, even in this world. To know the living God. To know the gift of faith. And to experience, you know, how totally dependent we are on God for this. That can get scary. Because all of a sudden we realize, I don't turn faith on and off. I can accept or not accept it, but I don't turn it on and off. God gives it. And if he stops giving it, that's it. Nothing I can do. And to experience that is what John of the Cross means by the dark night of the soul. The heart of the dark night of the soul is an act of hope. I have nothing. One of the songs we sing has got that line in it. I have nothing or I am nothing, because they're both true. You see, and to know that is to be free. So that's what he's saying here, you see. Abraham went out obeying God, not knowing where he was going to go. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. When God put, and he talks about it here, God put Abraham to the text. He said, Abraham. And Abraham said, Hineni, behold me. I'm ready. What do you want? And one of the great Jewish commentators of all time, Rashi, a medieval Jewish commentator, said, do you see? Do you see that? It is the sign of a man given over to God that he's ready to obey before he even knows what God wants. All he said was Abraham. And he said, Hineni, I'm ready. I'm ready. What do you want? And then he said, you know, take that child in whom all my promises are embodied and offer him up. Take your only son, the one you love, all your affection, all your hope for the future, that you're going to be the father of a great nation. It's all in that boy. Now offer him up in sacrifice. Okay, God. Reasoning, as it says, you see, that God was able even to raise from the dead. God promised. And that means raising my son from the dead, he'll raise him from the dead. God promised. Do you see what faith is? So my friends, don't give up. Don't get bored. And when times are tough, take longer times of prayer. Fight for it. So that the Holy Spirit can move you. You'll grow up. And then the Lord can use you. Really use you. So you keep your eyes, as it says in the same letter, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, huh? Who is the pioneer, the initiator, and the perfecter of our faith. Just keep your eyes fixed on him, and you will more and more fall in love with him. It just happens. If you keep looking, I've got to fall in love with Jesus, I'm going to pray, I'm going to... That's like saying, I got to make sure just how I stand and how I hold the bat. And now, no. Watch the ball. You're supposed to do all that before you get there. Now, just keep your eye on that ball. Keep your eye on Jesus. That's the great grace. So we better stop. But you see how this is the foundation, as the Council of Trent says, this is the root and foundation of our whole Christian life. Faith. So we make up our minds. You see, we are going to sing these songs with our whole heart. Not because I'm going to, but because I'm going to think of what I'm saying. I want to say this to Jesus. I want to say this to God. I want to sing this to God. I want to worship him. That's faith. I don't feel like it. I don't have any emotional kickback from this. Hallelujah. That's great. Now it's all for God. St. Therese once said, and I'll end with this one. St. Therese once said, you know, I just wish God didn't know absolutely everything. Because I would love to do something for him, and he wouldn't know that it was me who gave it to him. Isn't that beautiful? I don't want a reward. I just want to do it for him.